The thing that bothers me about this whole, like, internet thing, and I know, like, I rant about this all the time. I should probably just get off the internet because it seems to annoy me at the drop of a hat, just for no reason at all. And maybe I've just become sensitive in my older age. Maybe I've just become intolerant. I don't know what it is, but we get to a point where, like, someone has to be contrarian. You can see something that is completely obvious, and somebody with credibility will come out and say, well, actually, it's the well actually Twitter. The well actually Twitter drives me insane because it's just this, I don't know what it is. It's this, like, feeling inside to somebody that they just have to say, well, I bet I could make the argument against this. And so you see something like Kevin Love get hit across his entire, like, forearm, wrist, hand, and you immediately say, hey, there's a hand is part of the ball rule. Well, he got his hand, so we're good. There's no foul. It's like, no, this is ridiculous. This kind of thinking is ridiculous. Like, it is okay. And that's the thing. I don't expect, like, retribution. Like, he got fouled. They didn't call it. It should have been a foul. Mavs won. Game over. Like, that's what happens. Like, they should have called a foul. They didn't. I don't know. Don't give up a 19-point lead. Or, you know, don't get down 19 points in the first half. So, yeah, it's like, there's plenty of reasons why they lost the game. That non-call is not why they lost the game. It's just, I don't know. It's just a thing of, like, well, I'm just going to go the other way. For no reason. Wait, are we recording?
Happy New Year!
Welcome to the Eye on Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Roll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore, it is the last podcast of 2013. Well, not the last. I'm sure someone might record one after us. The last Eye on Basketball Podcast of 2013.
No, we're shutting it down. We're shutting down all podcasts.
We're shutting down iTunes. How's it going?
Are you going to miss 2013?
I don't know. I never miss years. I never, like, oh, 2001. Let me tell you about 2001. Like, I don't know. It's over with. I'm ready to move on to the next year. I had a great year. It was a fantastic year. But yeah, I don't know. I'm just concentrating on making the next one even better.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm a take stalker. So I'm the guy that I like New Year's because there are lots of reflection. So I'm always like, was this year a good year or a bad year? Like,
yeah.
You know, most of the time I'm like, oh, that was a really good year. Or like, wow, like, this is a really eventful year. And 2013, I'm pretty much like, well, my kid was healthy, so that was good. My wife was healthy, so that was good. And the finals were awesome.
Yeah. I think professionally I had a great year. Non-professionally, I had a great year. Here's the problem. I have no idea why. This wasn't Ed Malloy keeping me up all night. I just couldn't sleep last night. I got a little over an hour. So yeah. I'm running on fumes right now. So I'm not going to be coherent. Well, I'm not going to be as mildly coherent as I usually am. But yeah, I would say I had a really good year, and I don't know. I can reflect back on the year and appreciate the stuff, but I'm not going to miss it.
I went to bed. I had to write. I got back from the game, from the Denver game last night, and had to write a feature, which I wrote about the best power forward in the NBA, and gave your guy Kevin Love lots of love.
Thank you.
And so I got that down, and I was like, oh man, Zach's still going with his nonsensical, sporadic tweeting. Like,
I don't even know what I was tweeting about.
I guess we won't be podcasting until later in the day. And then I get up and I go downstairs and I turn on TweetDeck and nope, there you are.
Yeah, just still going. Still going. I'm so tired. You remember that show Kenny versus Spenny? It was on the Game Show Network. It was two Canadian guys that would just compete with each other. They're two friends. They would just compete. Like, there would be an episode of who can get the most kisses from random women, or like, who can like go the longest without bathing or something like that, or go the longest without, you know, going to the bathroom. It was just like these weird competitions that they would go against each other, and one guy would always cheat. And it was this thing. Well, they had one where it was who could stay up the longest. And I think like around like day three or four for one guy, he's just rambling at one point. He goes, you know, it's just raw humanity. I don't even know what I'm saying right now. I'm just rambling. So that's what I think every time I have sleep deprecation. I'm just like, It just like feels like my body feels like raw humanity right now.
Well, you just said sleep deprecation, so I think we're in a pretty good,
Spot. Well, there was both sleep deprecation and deprivation. There we go.
Okay, so Love gets fouled last night, pretty clear.
Obvious. No call. I mean, come on. It's so obvious the league admitted it.
Yep.
After I was assured last night that the hand is part of the ball is the rule in play there, which that is a valid rule. I cite it all the time. I'm no botanist. Wait, no. I'm not a botanist. I'm not a biologist. I'm neither of those things. Therefore, I'm so tired. Oh, my God. Neither of those things are the hand. That I know. I've played enough Operation in my day to know that the forearm is not part of the hand.
Yeah.
I am not a botanist. I know very little about flowers.
The Wolves radio announcer, the great
Alan Horton, one of my favorite guys. Just a great dude.
Ed Malloy!
Yeah, I feel like, well, everyone... The problem is that Ed Malloy had a really bad season in Minnesota last year. It seemed like every time he was here, he just screwed something up. Like some major call or some obvious call he screwed up. I think the most famous one from last year would maybe be the flagrant two, from J.J. Barea on Ray Allen, that kind of started a little mini scuffle at one point in the season. And Ed Malloy reviewed it on the replay, still said it was a flagrant two, and kicked Barea out of the game. And the Heat, I'm pretty sure the Heat won, and they would have won even if Barea didn't get kicked out of the game. But then the next day, the league reviewed it, and they said, no, that should have been a flagrant one. So, like, every time he makes a big call, it seems like the league's like, nah, not really. That's wrong. And so Ed Malloy has a reputation around here right now. And so for Alan to see it, because he's up like, by the luxury boxes, because he's doing the radio call, and they've got him kind of, like, more of a, not a bird's eye view, but more just up more so he can see more. And he's so good on the radio. And once he saw the replay on the screen and then noticed that it was Ed Malloy who was on the baseline, like, he just lost.
Malloy!
I'm actually turning that into a ringtone for somebody.
It sounds to me like we're in some sort of old-timey show, and it's like, oh, the villain again! That dastardly Ed Malloy!
Ed Malloy's just wearing, like, all black, a trench coat, a villainous hat. He's twisted his mustache.
Oh, no, Ed Malloy stole the princess again. Oh!
Oh, no, he's got Ricky Rubio tied up on train tracks.
Oh, Ed Malloy stole the eggs. Oh! So.
Yeah, Ed Malloy's really bad at his job.
I'm in a pretty dead inside mood, and so my big reaction is basically like, yeah. It was should have been a foul. It wasn't called. It happened. It's gonna happen to you again. You're gonna do it to somebody else.
Right.
Like,
well, that I wrote up the recap for A Wolf Among Wolves, and I reminded people from like 2 years ago, there was a play where Kevin Love drove against the 76ers. Iguodala reached in, grabbed all ball, and they called a foul on Iguodala at the end of a game. Love hits two free throws. They win by one. And it's like, all right, that doesn't excuse the missed call, but we've gotten a few. Like, it's happened before in our
favor. It's good that you do that. It won't stop the tie because you know what the reaction is. The reaction is Kevin Love doesn't get star calls because he's in Minnesota.
He averages 8 free throws a game. Nope. That's a lot. I mean, he averages a lot of free throws. Like, he got screwed on that call, but he gets a lot of calls.
I wonder if there is a fan base that actually is like, you know, my guy gets every call he should. Probably a few extras.
It's hard for me to watch Kevin Martin on a nightly basis and be like, yeah, the Wolves just don't get calls. Kevin Martin gets the worst foul calls in his favor.
Like, I've seen Rockets fans do it with Harden, and that's when I'm just like,
yeah,
I just like eject. I'm out. Yeah.
Well, that was I doubt a single Mavericks fan read it, but like in the post, I wrote like, look,
in the zillion word post,
right, in like a 1500 word recap of one game in December, I basically wrote like, you could admit that was a blown call. Love should have gotten the foul. And still say, but we'll take the win. I'd be fine with that. If that happened to the Wolves, I'd be like, yep, that sucks. He should have gotten the call, but we got the win. I'll take it. Like, it just, I mean, the Wolves played like crap in the
Dallas
first half.
Dallas fans can't do that, though, because they have to maintain that superiority. One, because of Cuban's feud with the referees, and right. Two, because of the 2006 finals. Like,
right. Well, that, and I surprisingly didn't hear from this one Mavericks fan who even admit he's like, maybe I'm biased here, but it doesn't look like a foul. And my point was just, if Dirk Nowitzki gets hit the exact same way by Corey Brewer, what do you want?
Yep.
You know, like, and that's all, that's honestly the mindset I try to have. I think I'm pretty good about that. I slip up every once in a while, but it's always like, if the roles are reversed, what call would I want? You know, like, I don't know.
I was listening to the BS report last night with Lowe and Simmons, and they were talking about the Wolves and how they're really worried about the team. And I don't know. I'm trying really hard. I'm basically using you as shelter. I'm hiding behind you. Being like, nope, I'm not going to worry about the Wolves until the end of January. Nope.
Yeah, I just, like, if they're still in the same spot in the end of January, yeah, I think it's time to be worried. I don't see how you can look at the first 2 months and be like, uh-oh, this is bad.
Yeah, especially when there's so many train wrecks around the league. Like,
yeah, that's the thing. It's not like anyone's running away. I mean, that loss to the Mavericks was big because they'd already beaten the Mavericks twice this year.
I think you look at a team like Denver and go, uh-oh, because,
yeah,
you know, it's like last night was kind of a perfect example of you know, you got up for this game because this team that has major problems with getting up for games, but they get up for the big ones. So they got up for the Heat, you know, had a lead, blew it, went down, came back, couldn't close.
And be like, easy.
And they couldn't close because J.J. Hickson got a 5-second violation.
Yeah, that's – oh, my God. Those calls, that doesn't happen often. But anytime an 8-second call or a 5-second call happens, you just want to be like, what is wrong with you?
And, I mean, I know it's tough because, you know, he's not behind the basket, but he's on the side that's behind the basket.
It's a weird angle.
And he's trying to throw it over a defender who's contesting,
yeah,
against guys that are contesting and nobody's getting open. I reckon, like, it really, you know, you turn it over and you're screwed with 1.7. You gotta make a perfect pass. But part of me is also like, wouldn't you rather have, like, if you're gonna, you know, if you want clearance, go with Mozgov, and if you want a good passer, go with like Wilson Chandler. Like, why is J.J. Hickson throwing this inbound pass?
Or even like, could you even put Andre Miller in for the pass? Yeah. I know he's shorter, but he's the best passer on the team, right?
I think he'd be the best passer based off of anticipatory passing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, I'm gonna put that, like, oh, here's space, Ty will go to it.
Yeah,
like, that's what you want. Is you want basically for, you want to throw it to nothing and have Ty catch it and then shoot. Ty Lawson also got like a wide open, like, not wide open, he got a good look at a contested step back three last night that would have tied it.
Yeah,
and rattled in and out. Like, it was just like, that was a shot. Yeah. And it's weird because it's like Denver can't get it done. It's like, no. Like, again, this is where I'm at mentally right now. I'm just like, no, Ty Lawson just missed a shot that he'll hit about 40% of the time.
Right.
Like, you know, that's it. That's the difference in between winning and losing. That's why the Heat won the game and look awesome. And,
yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, you will take that shot with Ty Lawson every time, right? It just
anytime Ty Lawson is shooting, you should take it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you know, it's. It's weird because, like, I was trying to think about this. What's Ty Lawson going to wind up as? I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think about, because I don't know. I do tend to think, I try not to get wrapped up in what guys are right now, because there's so many guys that have had, like, crazy, weird careers. Like, Vince Carter has been, like, franchise savior in two different places.
Right.
Like, legendary player, like, going to take the Magic to the finals. No, wait, he's not really good at all. Wait, he's a really competent, solid all-around role player in Dallas. Like, he's been like a million things throughout his career. And I was just thinking, I was like, what's Ty Lawson going to be?
Yeah, because, like, I think, well, I mean, he's locked up in Denver, so it's who are they going to bring in to help him, right?
Yeah, but it's also like one of, you know, I don't think you bring in guys to help Ty Lawson. I think you bring in Ty Lawson to help guys.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's what more I mean is, like, How do you build with him? Like, I don't think you build around him, but you build with him. And do you bring in a dominant scorer? Do you bring in a big man? Like, what piece does he complement the best? Like, I don't know that you want a Carmelo Anthony type scorer with him. You know, like, maybe you want more. Not saying they could get him, but like more of a Blake Griffin type of player, right?
And I was trying to think. I was like, you know, what team gets better with him on it? The Wolves are an interesting question. With that,
the Wolves will be better with him for sure.
like if you took off, like, because the question is, if you took off Rubio's defense and you added Ty Lawson's scoring,
yeah, I mean,
I haven't looked at the assist numbers. I would assume that they're within one, or within, I would say that they're within 1.5 to 1.8 of each other.
Yeah, probably. Rubio's at 8.2, and Lawson's got to be like 6.8 or something, right? Oh, Lawson's 7.9. They're almost identical.
Yeah. So, despite Rubio would probably be described as a better passer because he makes the highlights. But in terms of production, the amount is relatively the same.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I would say, which I've been meaning to write more about this year, is that Rubio's assists are down, but they also run more through Love.
Yeah.
So
that's
that's
one thing I've noticed is, yeah, like, the ball is just going to Love every time down.
Right, so, which is what they should. Yeah, he's the best player on the team. But no, I think, I mean, the Wolves would, I think they would truly be, not that Lawson isn't a decent enough defender, but they would truly be a train wreck on defense without Rubio's pressure and deflections and steals and forcing turnovers. But offensively, it might not matter, right? Like, we might be in a Portland situation where the offense is so good that bad defense is just negated almost every game.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's just kind of weird. I'm trying to figure out, like, where's Ty Lawson going to evolve to?
That is an interesting question.
You know, because it's almost like you need a team that's got a really good superstar, and you almost need a second star, and then Ty Lawson to be that third guy.
Yeah.
He needs to be the Bosch.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I don't think saying Ty Lawson should be the third guy on a title contending team is an insult. That's a very good player.
It's not. It's almost like, because most people don't even really consider him, it's almost like in such a drive to not want to underrate him, I tend to overrate him.
Okay.
I'm always like, God, he's really good. Like, you know, watching him every night, you know, up close and personal, it's like, God, Ty Lawson's really freaking good.
No, he's really good.
That's what's kind of surprising. I was kind of thinking about this last night. I was like, Wilson Chandler's having, you know, a pretty good year. Like, he was great last night. And Ty Lawson was really good. Like, they have some good players, but Denver's just not going anywhere. And there's a piece by Ben Hockman in the Denver Post talking about how they don't have an identity. Kenneth Faried's like, I have no idea who we are.
Yeah.
Like, nope, don't really have one. Like, they have one under George Karl, and I'm not sure that they – I don't necessarily think this is Shaw's fault, because I think Shaw's just frustrated that the guys aren't who he wants them to be.
Yeah, he wants certain pieces, and he can't – he certainly hasn't had enough time to help mold the vision of the team, right? Like, that's hard to take over a team and in one summer get the roster you want to roll with. I mean, that's almost impossible. So – I think he gets to figure out who fits, who doesn't, and then help the front office just, like, I don't know, maybe mold more towards his vision as long as they have confidence in him.
Yeah. Just kind of weird trying to figure out where the Nuggets are going.
I think it's an interesting – I don't know. I mean, I have no idea what kind of coach Brian Shaw is and what he'll be, but I do wonder if he can replicate a Frank Vogel-type situation where the – organization buys into him and his style and what he wants, and they go find those guys and they have supreme confidence in him, and you make it work that way.
Do they have most of that though for Vogel to work? So they had Hibbert, George.
Well, you still have to develop, right? Well, Vogel's been around a while, hasn't he?
Yeah. But
Vogel was there before Paul George.
Was he?
Yeah. Yeah, he's been there since 2010. When did George come in the league?
That's an interesting question.
He came in when George came to the team.
Yeah. Yeah, they had, and then, like, the core was Granger and.
Yeah, they brought in West. I wonder what the timeline of that was of bringing in guys and how much of it was after Vogel signed on. That would have been something to research before. For me, I'm just talking about botany.
This 2010 Pacers team is Travis Diener.
Sure.
Mike Dunleavy, TJ Ford.
Okay.
Jeff Foster was still on the roster. Tyler Hansbrough was on board. Luther Head.
Oh, Luther Head's a really bad NBA player.
Do you remember when Troy Murphy was like the big free agent guy?
He was like a thing.
It was like a huge thing of where's Troy Murphy going to get traded to?
There are so many Troy Murphy stories I heard at the first summer league I went to from beat writers that I can't tell on this podcast that I love so much.
So yeah, in 2010 they kind of had the core because they had that's when they had Collison. They hadn't gotten George Hill yet, right? Yeah.
Right.
So they had Collison. It was Collison and Ford was the combo there. Then Dunleavy, and then Granger was like the star. Paul George was just a rookie that was we didn't think could dribble and would be nothing.
Right.
Roy Hibbert. Tyler Hansbrough was like coming off of a pretty impressive.
But Hibbert wasn't good.
No, he wasn't good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, okay.
They had both Dante Jones and Solomon Jones. I remember that because I liked that team. and they also drafted Lance Stephenson.
Yeah.
And that was when they played the Bulls in that first round, and even though they lost 4-1, they were really competitive in each of those games. And yeah, that's when everybody was like, hey, like Indiana might have something here.
Yeah, I think the only bad game of that one was the closeout game. I think the Bulls blew them out, but I remember, I think the first four of those were really close.
Yeah. And that was what was really interesting is, and that's why I get really nuts when people are like, where did the Pacers come from? I'm like, they were good in 2011. They played the Heat really well in 2012.
Like, right. They came from Middle Earth.
Like, they've been around, guys. Like, they didn't land on a spaceship. 2013.
Right.
So, do you want to do some baseless predictions for 2014?
Sure, why not?
I'm starting to think that something really weird is going to happen in the Western Conference.
Okay.
Just because I do believe in general trends, and getting back to the NBA Finals is really difficult when you lose.
It is.
And so, I don't think the Spurs are going to do it. And it's the Thunder look like such an easy option. It's starting to convince me otherwise, but I don't know. I feel like something really, because the Clippers do not impress me whatsoever. They just.
Could you see Doc pulling them together though? I know they need another big man, but
I don't know that they can with those two. That's the thing. I don't know that Blake and DJ are gonna ever get where they gotta be.
Yeah,
you gotta have one guy that's. And even if they had those
what
two...
What the hell? They're oddly good at defense. What is going on?
The numbers are okay. It's only if you watch them that you're like... Oh.
This is the ultimate like numbers versus eye testing because they are 7th in defensive efficiency.
Yeah. They went from 30th to 7th. They were 30th like 2 weeks in, and now they're 7th. They beat the crap out of bad teams.
Yeah, that's true. That's where they get them.
Like, I look that up as like what their splits are versus East versus West.
Yeah.
Like it's but at the same time you got to be like, well, you know, they still get like those games still count. Like you can't, you know,
right?
Like you should get credit when you play well as when you play poorly. But I don't know anybody that's like, no, yeah, this team is still a championship contender. The idea is like they could get there.
Yeah.
And so then if it's not going to be the Spurs or the Thunder or the Clippers, like then you get into some really, really weird ideas.
This Rockets team's good.
The Warriors team's good.
Yeah, I don't know if I can see – I don't know if they have – I feel like they need another shot creator.
By the way, Western Conference defensive efficiency versus the Western Conference defense defensive efficiency versus the Western Conference for the Clippers, 101.5. For the East, it's 98.6.
Mm. 101's still good, though.
101's not bad.
Yeah, God, what is going on? That is something, if you had me guess, if you had asked me to guess that, I would have said 19th.
Yeah.
Wow. Why not? I watched the Clippers. What is... I don't think I've missed I missed maybe two Clippers games.
And do you agree that they don't look good defensively?
They look awful defensively.
Yeah. It's really weird.
And it's not something where like, oh, the starters are okay, but the bench comes in. No, the bench is awful defensively.
They put an 86.2 mark defensively on the Bulls.
Yeah.
An 86 on the Nuggets. An 87.3 on the Knicks. An 81 on the Sixers. They put a 94 on the Spurs. That was their best win of the season.
They do have 11 wins by 10 or more points. 11 of their 21. So I mean, when they win, they're winning really big.
They have the resume.
Yeah.
They definitively have the resume. They just don't.
All right. Already overlooking them. What about Portland? I know we still got to see what they do in a playoff series, but
it would be I can't believe it, because it'd be the best story, and I don't believe in those stories.
I guess I don't mean go to the finals. I guess I mean Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, like
that's a big
Blazers
leap.
Like a Blazers Thunder or a Blazers Spurs matchup.
Yeah, that's a big leap to just say, oh, 33 wins to the finals.
Like, yeah, their thing, and like Zach Lowe's talked about this, is like, are they going to be able to defend?
Yeah. And I actually wonder how much you can take away their offense, too, as you're game planning in the 7-game series.
You know, part of it with me is, when I'm looking at bad defenses, it's teams that give up backdoor cuts. Like, I realize that's a big thing that stands out to me.
Oh my God, yeah, the Wolves do that a lot.
Is when you repeatedly have those instances where you're like, where the hell is everybody?
Or you just have a random guy on the perimeter just standing alone, no one within 12 feet of him. Like,
yeah,
like where was the rotation?
Or the corner defender is getting all itchy and thinks he's going to go for a steal.
Yeah.
And then the guy goes back door. Like, yeah. Kawhi Leonard just murders people with that. Like,
yeah, you could just say Corey Brewer. Corey Brewer is that itchy defender going for the steal.
Yeah, he definitely is. And so I think that's the thing. My thing with Portland is I don't really see them do that much. Like, they don't have guys that can contain you on the perimeter, and they don't have guys that can stop you down low, and they don't have great like. LaMarcus's rebound numbers are actually really good this year, but
they are. I've not been impressed with his defense.
Yeah, I feel like it's been. I feel like me and Love are very much in the same place, where it's been like it's been fine. It's been like varying degrees of fine.
Yeah, like
it's been like. Well, I mean, it's been fine, and with like Marcus, it's been fine.
Yeah, with Kevin Love, it's more of like. You'll have that. There'll always. Oh God, this is gonna sound horrible. There's always going to be that friend who someone will say, oh, she looks really good tonight, and you always want to clarify for her.
Yeah.
Like, you always want to throw that in. Like, Kevin Love's defense has been good for him.
Right.
Yeah. And with LaMarcus, it's been good. Not good, but yeah, it's been all right.
Yeah, and the breakdown I did, I thought about mentioning this, but I didn't. It's basically, in order for Kevin Love's offense for you to really ignore what Kevin Love does offensively, he'd have to be James Harden bad.
Right.
Like, that's how bad he would have to be.
Right, and he's not good, but he's not nearly James Harden bad.
Because everyone, a lot of people responded when I started the conversation on Twitter, were like, well, Bosh. And I'm like, well, okay, Bosh is the best defender of any candidate in the field. I took LaMarcus, Love, Griffin, Anthony Davis and Bosh.
Yeah,
those to me are the five guys. If we're excluding LeBron, which I do because he's an alien,
he's not a person.
Yeah, those are the five guys I look at for best power forward. And everyone's gonna say Dirk. I don't think he's there. Like he's almost there. I could think he's really good, but you know. And then like Tim Duncan's a center and not having a great season, so. He's kind of out.
Right.
But those are the five guys. And, like, Bosh is definitively the best defender of any of those guys. But Bosh is not so good at defense that outweighs the offensive deficiency between him and everybody else.
Yeah, like, if he was featured, his numbers would be there. The offense would be consistent. But the fact that he's not, it's you can't rely on him on both ends of the court every game, right?
Well, that's
part of that's a system thing. Like, it's just that's his role.
For me, this is a big thing. Like, you get bonus points for being the best player on your team.
Yeah, for sure.
You just do. Like, you
it definitely matters in terms of like where the. I mean, I was arguing about this whole Blake Love thing. I was like, well, if Kevin Love had Chris Paul taking the attention of the defense, I think there would, you know, I think his numbers would go up a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like, at least efficiency-wise, like, and they're already ridiculous efficiency-wise. Like, I think having that guy take attention away to where you're dealing with the reaction of the defense as opposed to the attention of the defense, I think that does account for something.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, the Blazers could make the finals.
I think if back. I had to pick a non-Spurs Thunder team in the West, I'd go the Rockets right now.
I think I'd probably go with the Warriors.
I really like this Rockets team.
You know, it's weird for me. Like, and here's the thing. A couple of years ago, I would have definitively said, because I really wanted to believe that an offensive-centric team could win the finals.
Yeah.
I wanted to believe that. Like, the Suns were the biggest reason, because it was so much fun to watch. I was like, this should be able to win. Like, they are so good. Like, they should be able to win. And there's lots of context in that conversation, but there is some truth to the fact you just simply have to accept that it does change in the playoffs. It just does. And the Warriors shoot a lot of threes, but I feel like the Warriors, at least, they're willing to get into a street fight with you.
Oh, yeah.
They're willing to get dirty.
They are fourth in defense.
Yeah.
The Rockets are 12th. Also would have put them around 19.
Yeah.
Huh.
This is going to sound really weird. I feel like the Warriors depend on three-pointers less than the Rockets, which doesn't...
No, they do. Much. They actually do.
It doesn't feel like that to me, though. I feel like they can, if they want to, they can go to pick-and-roll game and attacking the rim, yeah, and pounding it inside and then kicking it out. I mean, I think, like, there's no way that you're going to win the title without being able to hit threes. Like, that's also become true.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh,
like,
for sure.
You could be a good defensive team, but you can't win if you can't hit from the outside. It's why... Like, eventually, I'm probably going to have to come to grips with, well, this Pacers team probably isn't going to do it.
They really need one more shooter.
It's less about Miami. It's more about they just really don't have that shooter.
Yeah.
You know, Paul George can't take them all.
Right.
And George Hill does a really good job, actually, at taking those and being that guy for them. But he's not as much of a crack shooter as you need him to be.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I completely agree.
But it's tough, though, because it's like they could add a shooter, but they're going to take away defense at some level, because I don't know anybody, as much as there are these 3-and-D guys, I don't know that many guys that are crack defenders, like really elite-level defenders that are also unbelievable shooters. Like,
well,
maybe
also, there aren't that many 3-and-D guys.
You think?
I don't think there are that many that you would be that – I don't think it's this abundant supply. I think it's a lot more rare than we think for like true guys that fit that description and excel at it.
Yeah,
I think like there's, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 guys, and that's it. And those guys are gonna be at a premium.
I mean, I like the Warriors. Like, they've got experience veteran guys. Even though Bogut hasn't gone deep in the playoffs, and neither has Iguodala, but those are two guys that have multiple playoff appearances. So they've got some experience there. They got experience last year with Curry and Clay and everybody. They've got Draymond Green as like the young X-factor dude.
Yeah. He's been really good this year.
And they've got a coach that will do like anything necessary. Like, I still kind of think that the Warriors, and this, it sounds really weird, because it's like that Spurs loss, I think, stained a lot of people on the Warriors.
Yeah.
But I've also been like, man, they've killed folks since then. Like, that was... Like, Mark must have run them through the ringer in practice the next day.
Yeah.
They've really kicked ass since then. Yeah, I feel like they're probably the best. The Rockets, it's weird because it's like, I like Jeremy Lin, but I do recognize, I'm like, you know, if you're relying on him, he's going to get victimized in a playoff series.
I really like him off the bench.
And the answer is, well, they got Beverly. And I'm like, you know, this is annoying me, because I was all like, Patrick Beverly can play. He should be in this league. And then he got the G. And now I'm like, well,
he shouldn't play that much.
Shouldn't play that much. You know? And then it's like, oh, well, they've got defenders and shooters. I'm like, well, they've got Francis Garcia. Let's.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know? I definitely think that they're. I definitely feel right now that like the Rockets are a second-round team.
Yes.
But if they get matched up with Oklahoma City or San Antonio, I just don't know that their execution is high enough on both ends. Like, you have to execute at such a high level.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, you do. I mean, we saw it last year with them. I think we'll see it again. And maybe this is going to become like just kind of a staple of Kevin McHale as a coach. I think they're going to be really good in the second half. I think they're going to figure more and more. I think they're a team that continues to learn throughout the season of what they are, what they're good at, and how they should play. And maybe that won't be enough in the playoffs to get to the finals or the Western Conference finals, but you know, they're still figuring out the whole Dwight thing. They're still figuring out their point guard situation. I think they will figure it out for the most part.
That's not really, and I think that's kind of the interesting thing is as bad as the East is, I feel so much better about the title prospects of Miami and Indiana than I do about any team in the West. And it's not just because they have to play each other. It's legitimately, like, I look at the Western Conference and I'm like, there are question marks, I think, there with everybody.
Yeah. You'd want to date anybody in the Western Conference playoffs, but you really just want to marry the Heat and the Pacers.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you feel good about putting a ring on their finger. You know they're not going to, you know, you don't need a prenup with them.
No, there's no prenup.
You know, you trust them. It's real love.
It is real love. You don't fight for the remote with them. You guys like the same stuff.
Exactly. I thought Memphis was getting better, and then last night happened. I was like, oh, no, that's
right. I didn't even see what happened last night.
Bulls.
Really?
Bulls. It was not all that close either.
Bulls need to cut it out.
I don't know what they're doing. I have no idea what they think. I don't know what they think they're doing.
It's Thibodeau, and it's just annoying. It's good to go.
Like,
Jimmy Butler had a game, though. That's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, Bulls fans very excited about that.
Good. Good for them.
Actually, let me look at that real quick. I'm doing your calculations on what you did, on how you went last night.
I think I was horrible.
I went 1-6, so...
You know what I didn't nail is the Clipper game. Definitely didn't nail that.
But you did nail Dallas. You hit that.
Yeah, I still thought the Wolves would win, but yeah, I got the cover. We both got Washington, right?
Yeah. He failed to cover, by the way.
Right.
Which is lots of fun. Yeah, you went 2-5, so you went better than I did. But
how fun was the end of that Blazers-Pelicans game? The three by Lillard was sick. And then Tyreek, I love his in-and-out crossover. That is one of my favorite moves in the league. And he hit that kind of step back, that through the legs, pull back jumper for the game winner. That was fun.
I really like this Pelicans team. They just need to play a little bit more consistent. Just play a little bit more consistent. They're going to make me look really smart if they can sneak into that 8 spot.
Like, and you know what? Like, I think, you know, I don't know. I guess I don't know enough about Monty Williams coaching, but maybe they're a team that has a huge surge in the second half because they're figuring it out.
They seem like a good candidate to me because all of their problems seem very much like they just need to go, oh.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think you look at their roster and you're like, I mean, other than when Austin Rivers is on the court, I don't think you look at their roster and you're like, oh, they've got this huge weakness that they've got to address. It's just more of like they got to figure out how to play.
They make things really hard for themselves, like,
yeah,
a lot of the time is one thing I've noticed.
Yeah.
Like, they make things really hard for themselves. Detroit does the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Detroit just makes things – there's a post on DetroitBadBoys.com today that I'm going to probably write something off of for today or tomorrow that's about the Pistons' fourth quarters. Can I read you some stats real quick?
Sure.
I mean, we're abandoning the 2014 thing. It's cliche anyway.
Yeah, whatever.
So in the first quarter, they are the seventh team, best team in the league in field goal percentage.
Okay.
In the second quarter, they're the fifth best team in field goal percentage, okay?
Okay.
Fourth quarter, they're 29th.
Ooh. That's almost the worst.
Assists by quarter. They're 16th in the first. They're 15th in the second. They're 17th in the third. They're 30th in the fourth.
Not passing.
They drop from second in the first. They're second in the first and third quarters in fast break totals to 9th in the fourth quarter. And they drop from – they're like a really good second chance team on the boards in all three of the other quarters and then drop to 11th in the fourth.
It's weird, too, because they have Brandon Jennings and Josh Smith.
It's actually interesting that you note that, because one thing they talk about this – okay, so they average 19.7 shots in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
Monroe and Drummond take just 3.4 of those.
Combined or each?
Combined.
Jesus Christ. Like, I get Drummond, you don't want him to get fouled or whatever, and maybe you're not running anything for him at the rim, but Greg Monroe should get the ball.
Jennings and Smith take 7.6 of the 19.7.
Of course they do.
So bad boys, like, simple formula is Monroe times 2 plus more Drummond minus Smith minus Jennings divided by swag equals wins.
Oh, you can't subtract the swag, though.
Well, you're going to divide by it. you're not getting rid of it.
Okay, yeah, you can't have swag traction.
Right. You can only divide by swag.
Yeah, you can divide by swag.
You can't divide by zero.
No, but you can
divide by swag.
That should be a shirt. That should be a Piston shirt.
You can't divide by zero. But you
can screw. That should be a Laker. That should be a Laker shirt.
What do you think about the Pal Bynum talks?
I loved Ken Berger's take on it about the getting under the luxury tax, getting under away from the repeater. I don't know if he was the only one. He's the only person I've read on it. But I thought that was, it is a huge factor in the CBA. It's funny that it seemed like from the tone of his post that that just GMs around the league are pissed they have to do this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
which is funny because the owners push for it, you know.
Yeah,
it's a funny dynamic, but for both teams, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think for Cleveland it'd be great. Like, I know, you know where I'm at with Powell, but I still feel like, you know, he instantly becomes their best front court player.
Yeah, for sure.
And you want to make the playoffs this year, go get Pau Gasol.
Yeah, and you put him with Varejao, you know, like, he'll do the dirty work. Tristan Thompson will do the dirty work. For Pau, you know, he takes less of a beating. They're definitely, I think they're a playoff team most likely anyway. I don't know. I thought that a week ago. No, I don't think that anymore. But they're definitely a playoff team with Powell. And then the Lakers, you don't give a damn anyway. The Lakers should be trying to get Wiggins or Parker or Randall or somebody anyway. Because this is the year they have their first round pick, right? Didn't 2013 and 2015 go to Phoenix?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny because they're actually talking about this, that like one of the problems is that Lakers are going to want more of the deal. And I said, yeah, because like they're the other, and like, well, they need other players to make the money work. And I'm like, yeah, like Kyrie Irving. Like, that's you know, like, I mean, that's one of the problems I think with the Lakers is they genuinely feel that they have to completely destroy you in every single trade because they always do. Like, it's not even so much the, it's not like Masai where he like works his Jedi magic. Yeah. It's just like, I just imagine Kupchak being like, well, no, like, you're going to give me Deion Waiters, C.J. Miles, and a first-round pick for him.
Yeah, it's just a lot of, do you know who you're talking to?
Yeah, like, do you know who I am?
Ooh, they could give up Anthony Bennett.
Yeah, somebody mentioned that. I'm not done with that kid yet. I don't know.
Oh, I'm not either. I would like to see him have an off-season of training and conditioning and having a good diet and actually getting to participate and stuff. Like, I think he'll be fine. I don't know that he'll warrant the number one pick, but it's also a crappy draft, so maybe he will. I don't know.
Yeah.
Ooh, Earl Clark?
Sure.
Earl Clark makes the money work.
Throw him in there.
Take him back.
And then...
I would like the... But if they're going to do this trade, I would like that Chris Grant has to tell Mitch Kupchak, take him back.
And then... And then they can bring back Vucevic.
Sure.
Probably be Vujicic, not Vucevic. Vujicic. And then they'll have Farmar, and then they can re-sign Lamar.
I wonder what Samaki Walker's up to.
Smush Parker's back. Look at that.
Oh my God, Kobe's got a machine gun.
it's a really interesting question though, because you feel like if they create cap space though, because of the Kobe extension, that's the kind of thing is like they can get another repeater tax and that's great, but they really need to trade for that second star.
They do, and they really. I mean, Nash has to be the bait there, right? You got to find some way to sweeten the pot, but they don't have anything to sweeten the pot. So maybe you have to bring in an asset in the POW trade. Well, you can't really turn around and... I guess you could do it in the summer. That's when you could turn around and trade him. Trade that asset plus Nash.
Yeah, like, and I'm not trolling you here. I'm being serious because I think you and I both recognize it's possible. Like, Wolves missed the playoffs. Love lets him know I'm out. Love pulls the whole Melo, I'm going to go trade me to LA thing. Then you send Nash and then pieces.
I still think I'm still more worried about Miami getting him than the Lakers right now.
Really?
It makes too much sense to me. They could create enough flexibility to make it work.
The Heat could the big three could just opt in for the last year.
Yeah, I mean, would the Wolves turn down Chris Bosh for Kevin Love? No.
Yeah.
I think they would be stupid to. You know, like Chris Bosh doesn't save your franchise. Like, I mean, you could make the playoffs with him, with Bosh and Peck and Kevin Martin and Rubio improves a little bit. Like, that's a playoff team in the West.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm much more worried about Love going to Miami than I am the Lakers right now. But I still feel confident he'll stay. He's more likely to stay than anything. But yeah, it's certainly a threat.
Kevin Love outlet passes to LeBron.
Oh.
Calling the Marines. Good God.
Oh my God. I'm moving to Miami.
And you're gonna eat it, and you're gonna live at that Michael's.
Yeah, the Michael's Genuine.
Michael's Genuine.
Yeah.
Fantastic restaurant, by the way.
I'm in love with it. I would marry that restaurant.
Yeah, let's see what was the other power? Oh, apparently the Lakers called the Nets and kicked the tires on Lopez. And I loved it because Nets fans were freaking out because they were like, "You thought about it? Like, you pick up? What do you mean you pick up the phone? What? You know?"
Billy King, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, that's the thing is, you know that's what's going to end up happening. He's going to wind up trading their best player. Like, yeah. This is...
Hey, Kirilenko's back tonight.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Maybe he'll be like Iguodala and like everything gets fixed.
Everything falls into place.
Everything, they just look fantastic. And like KG like can play at center and with AK to cover him at the four and, you know, Pierce plays at the three and yeah.
Until he pulls a hamstring, he's out for 8 more games.
Yeah. But Russian stock market's looking rough, so... You know,
it is. It's a strong portfolio right now.
So, you know, that palatial estate that he got, going to work out great.
Should we do picks? The last picks of 2013?
Oh, do we have to?
You're going to bounce back tonight.
It's not that. It's the games that are terrible. I will say this. They really should take news off. Like, the guys don't want to be playing because they're just trying to get to their parties.
Oh, man. Who had – maybe Punch Drunk Wolves, which is an excellent Wolves site. I think they tweeted today something like, I bet the Pelicans are glad to be in Minnesota for New Year's Eve instead of New Orleans.
Yep.
By the way, the wind chill, it's minus 22 right now.
In the Heat locker room last night, just standing around, I was picking up conversations of guys and what they're doing for New Year's.
Yeah.
NBA players have good lives.
They have excellent lives.
They get to live life much in the way that you want to.
Yeah.
Because I'm staring down the barrel of takeout and renting a movie on demand with my wife.
Yeah.
So.
I'm walking down the street to this steak place that has a bar and. I don't know. Last year we stumbled in there and they gave us free champagne the whole night. Like, they just gave us a bottle of champagne and didn't charge us. So we're just hoping that happens again.
Just going for the repeat.
Yep. Just gonna roll the dice. Those are the big New Year's plans.
Hawks and Celtics are playing right now as we speak, as we record this.
Seriously?
Celtics are 3-point favorites.
Oh, where is it?
Boston.
Go with the Hawks.
I took the Hawks. I'm not really sure why. Like, yeah. they might go. This team might legitimately go in the tank without Horford. Like, everyone's like, no, they're still pretty good. I'm like, he might mean that much to them. It's possible.
I think in any normal year he would. I still think they'll make the playoffs.
when you're having to play teams like the Celtics, yeah.
Right. I mean, this East is just, my God.
The Pacers are favored by 13 over Cleveland.
Yep. Ring it up.
Yep.
Wait, where are they playing?
In Indiana.
Yep, ring it up.
Yep. Golden State's favored by 6 on the road versus the Magic.
Ooh. Magic have not been good lately, I don't feel like. Oh, well, maybe they won a couple games.
They've been inconsistent.
Yeah, I'll go Warriors.
Yeah, Warriors are really playing well right now. The Raptors are favored by 1.5 on the road versus Chicago.
This Chicago team. I'm going to go Chicago just because I think they'll be annoying and win.
I don't think they will because they're on the back of the pack. I think that's the difference. That's part of the thing. They really do get they really do get tired.
Yeah.
The injuries have left where they just get really tired.
Yeah.
The Kings are in Houston and they're 9.5 point dogs to the Rockets.
Oh, Rockets.
Yeah, easy. Yeah. Like, this is a game Houston should win. Like, yes. They played really well last week. They lost to the Thunder on 4-5 nights. They should kill this team.
Yep.
The Nets are in San Antonio, and the Spurs
give me the Spurs. I don't even care.
It's 12, by the way.
Okay, yeah. You could have said 30. I would have taken them.
30, lay the points. I'm buying 15 extra points.
It's essentially a 215 seed in the March Madness tournament.
Oh. Brooklyn Nets have been turned into Moorhead State. The Thunder are 5.5 point favorites tonight versus the Blazers. Blazers on back to back.
Ooh. I'm going to go Blazers because I think it's close. I don't know who wins, but I just think it's a one possession game.
Yeah, I like the Thunder at home versus teams on back-to-back. By the way, you notice now that Portland, one of the reasons that they're starting to come back down to earth in the record standings is based entirely on their close game record is coming back to reasonable margins.
Yeah.
That's such a big factor when teams get out to, like, when you see surprise teams, look at how they do in close situations because – like if it looks because here's a good example. The Miami Heat are a really good clutch team, right? They're 7-6 in games within 5 points in the final five. 7-6. Like,
wow.
Yeah. Turns out it's hard to win NBA games.
Funny.
And finally, the nightcap to usher in the new year, the Lakers are 6-point favorites versus the Bucks tonight.
Are you kidding
me? Why is this game on?
Oh my God.
We thought this was a good idea.
I mean, I'll roll with Baby Swaggy New Year.
Yeah, like this one they can win.
Yeah, because the Bucks are the worst team in basketball.
Yeah, yeah. There's starting to get heat on D'Antoni again. What? Like, the fan base cannot wait to fire him. They just cannot wait to fire him.
Yeah, I thought Dexter Fishmore was tweeting.
I was just about to bring
that
up.
He had great insight into that last night during part of my insomnia where the gist of it was essentially they're going to use him as a scapegoat when it's the most advantageous for him, and this is not it.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to play that card once, and it's going to be a big play, and this team is not worth playing that card, which I completely agree with.
You keep him for after you rebuild the team, and then they come back and they start off like 0-5.
Right.
Like you Mike Brown him.
Right. Oh, that's sad.
And kind of true.
No, it's absolutely true. That's why it's sad.
So are you going to be able to sleep today?
I don't know. I'll sleep at some point, otherwise I'll die.
Are you just going to push through and then like get loaded up on champagne and hope the alcohol puts you out?
I'm probably going to... I mean, I know I'll sleep tonight for sure. It's just getting through tonight, which will be
difficult. You better power nap, otherwise the lady friend's gonna be dragging you. Once you're gonna have like four glasses of champagne, and it's not gonna be woo New Year. It's gonna be I need to go to bed right.
Like it's 8:30. Like I need to go to bed.
I need to go to bed.
It's New Year's somewhere.
What are you, Jimmy Buffett? What's happening? Does Jimmy Buffett's popularity confuse you?
No, I get it. He's got those shirts. He's got Margaritaville restaurants. I get
like,
it.
My parents are Parrotheads.
Okay.
They've seen him like 6 times in concert. So, like, I understand to a certain degree. It just, it's amazing to me that there's an entire, there's this massive swath of people. And, like, Fish, I'm the same way with Fish, where I'm like, really? Like, this is, like, this person's music is such a big part of your life.
Yeah, Fish is weird. Someone, I saw some, like, Instagram photo the other day of somebody I follow where they're like, Fish concert. I was like, what year is it? Like, that was getting old when I was in college, that, which is, like, 12, 13 years ago.
And there hasn't really been a jam band. I guess My Morning Jacket is maybe, like, the new band that's...
You know whose success confuses me? Jeff Dunham. I don't get ventriloquism. You said yesterday, you mentioned, like, a parlor trick. Ventriloquism's a parlor trick. I don't get how you can be so successful as a comedian with ventriloquism. Just tell the jokes.
Well, I think it's because it's characterization, right?
Right, but I can't tell if it's one step above or below Carrot Top, which is my problem.
That's tough. That's actually a really good question. Is it below or above? Is Jeff Dunham below or above Carrot Top? That's actually a great question.
I feel like he'll have more. Well, no, I don't think you can say more longevity because Carrot Top's still around, like making a ton of money in Vegas.
Like the gimmicky comedy. When you think about it, that's actually proven to kind of be the most long lasting and most successful long term.
Yeah.
Like, unless you become Eddie Murphy.
Right.
Unless it propels you to being Eddie Murphy, you know.
Adam, like, Sandler.
Yeah. Well, even, but Adam Sandler was a stand-up.
He did stand-up, didn't he?
I don't remember him ever.
He did, well, no, he, like, barely did stand-up, and then he got on Saturday Night Live. Yeah, yeah, you can't really call him a stand-up. That's a good call.
Like, he's, I mean, he's not like Louis C.K.
No.
You know, or, you know, a number of like, even, you know, Billy Crystal. Like, Billy Crystal, like, did stand-up.
Yeah. Robin Williams did stand-up. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And even Robin Williams, like, Robin, actually, like, The 80s Robin Williams comedy specials are phenomenal.
You know, they had those, what was it? It was those HBO specials where they were like trying to help eradicate homelessness. And it was,
yeah,
like,
Comic Relief.
Yes, Comic Relief. Yeah, those were great specials.
Yeah.
It was like Whoopi, Billy Crystal, Robin Williams hosting those. And those were really like those were, I remember those being like events. And maybe it's just because my parents loved them. And so I would watch it with my parents. But I remember those being like kind of a big deal.
No, that was like a huge deal. Like, yeah I am 100% with you. Like, I'm trying to think. They had, God. I remember Paula Abdul was like a huge act at that time.
Yeah.
And then Stephen Wright. Oh, Stephen Wright was a kill on those.
Oh, Stephen Wright's so underrated.
Stephen Wright was phenomenal in those.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the gimmicky comedy guys, like, think about it. Like, Carrot Top, Jeff Dunham, Gallagher. Like, Gallagher hit things with a hammer.
Gallagher. That is... That's how you knew society was getting really dumb. Is this guy
what's
was
funny,
just...
What's funny is, like, he took basically like 60s post-liberalism.
Yeah.
And that's what he used with a hammer.
It was like he was trying to be observational too. He was trying to be like, he's trying to be Jerry Seinfeld before Jerry Seinfeld. But like 3 minutes in, he'd be like, "Screw it, I'm gonna squash this fruit."
Yeah,
that's what I'm gonna do.
And this is a metaphor.
And it's a metaphor, and I'm gonna throw paint at a canvas. And look how clever I am. Look at my little beret. Look at my striped shirt. I dress like the Hamburglar with suspenders. That's what he dressed like.
And he did have a bunch of, he did like the whole like, oh, I've got some inventions, which is, you know, what Carrot Top does.
Yeah.
Like Gallagher was a Carrot Top before Carrot Top.
Jesus.
I guess Chappelle, I'm going to guess, is the best stand-up guy you've ever seen, right?
Yes. Yeah, Chappelle's the best.
Raw, Eddie Murphy Raw to me is the defining, like Richard, I actually enjoy Richard Pryor more.
Yeah.
Like him on the Sunset Strip is phenomenal.
Yeah,
but Raw is the single best performance I've ever seen. Although I will say Carlin. Well, I guess like if you're talking about like the overall comedian, I'd probably go with Carlin because he was so good for so long. Like he's like,
yeah. I wonder how much of prior stuff got kind of downgraded because of the times, because of his race. Like he was a little too out there. For the, like, if he came 10 years later.
Well, he was also, his coke problem was so bad, people wouldn't insure him.
Well, yeah, he lit himself on fire.
Yeah.
That's a telltale sign. You're going to light yourself on fire.
When you light yourself on fire, you may have problems.
Right.
Yeah. That's really crazy, though, is that you know, this career being so hard. It's like the movies that I recognize with him are so family friendly. And they're kind of. Like,
yeah, kind
See
of.
No Evil, Hear No Evil. Like, the Gene Wilder movies?
See No Evil, Hear No Evil is one of my favorite 80s comedies.
Harvey Wallbanger.
Yes. Is it great? You know what? What was it? The Toy?
Oh, yeah.
Really racist.
Yeah.
There's really a lot racist. Of racial overtones in that movie.
Like, I want there to be an oral history about that.
I watched it, like, 3 or 4 years ago, and I was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I don't get uncomfortable for anything.
Stir Crazy is my favorite Richard Pryor movie of all time.
Yeah, Stir Crazy is great.
It's phenomenal.
I saw Chris Rock before his second special. He was working on the material for the second special, and he came to Sacramento and was doing it, and that was up there with Chappelle. That was up
Bring
there.
Bring the
with,
Pain.
Yeah.
Is so good.
Yeah. I mean, that was an experience. Like that was something where, I mean, he was already a big deal because of the first special, but that was a moment where, like, you're just sitting there, you're like, this means something.
His pit on movie theaters.
Oh my god!
I die every single time.
Yeah, so good. I saw Louis C.K. last year. He was phenomenal.
Yeah.
The only one I haven't seen who's like one of my favorites of all time is Patton Oswalt. I've never seen Patton Oswalt. Mm. I've seen Seinfeld. I've seen almost everybody I love, but I need to see Patton Oswalt. I saw Charlie Murphy. That was awful. I saw Charlie Murphy and I saw Tony Rock, who is Chris Rock's brother. Those were two of the worst experiences of my life at a comedy club.
Tony Rock
and Charlie Murphy. Not the same night. These were different nights.
They should have like a whole entourage thing, and it should be like the D-League superhero thing of, yeah, like, it's like him and Chris Smith should hang out.
Well, it was a thing where, like, where Charlie Murphy starts like telling these Rick James stories and stuff. You're like, oh my god, this is just like Chappelle's show. This is great. And then he did it for 90 minutes, and Dave Chappelle is nowhere to be found. You're like, oh, I see why they would edit this down to a 4-minute bit. This is actually not that good.
For those of you with us, this is still the Eye on Basketball
podcast. Oh my god, I thought we were just shooting the excrement. Also,
forgot recording.
My god, that's the sleep deprecation.
Sleep deprecation.
That's just that. That's what that's working with right now. And the last two ones I'll mention, and we can wrap this up. I saw Norm Macdonald live, and he got heckled, and he killed, like just destroyed this heckler, which was so fun. And then I saw Paul Mooney, who, if the kids don't know who Paul Mooney is, like, just research it. He's one of the greatest comedic minds we've ever had, and he was so great. All he did was just talk. Like, he didn't draw. He didn't tell story, or he didn't really tell stories. He didn't really like have punchlines and jokes. He just talked, and he talked for 3.5 hours. It was the late show at a comedy club, and that was unbelievably cool. Like, he just talked about like his time with Richard Pryor and what comedy is to him, and like, you know, race relations and all this stuff. And it was just, oh my god, that was awesome. If Paul Mooney, he's still around. If you get a chance to see Paul Mooney, go to the late show and just sit back and enjoy.
I'm gonna take Notaro kick, and not just because of live, but however, like, live's like a whole other thing. But if you get a chance to hear Tig Notaro's live, you should really do it. It's she, have you heard about this?
No.
She contracted I think it was like a parasite.
Is this the person Louis C.K. was helping out?
Yeah.
Okay, I heard about it, but I don't. So those, I'm not really that familiar with the details.
Yeah.
Anymore.
So like, she contracted like a rare disease that basically required her to like put her in the hospital for like 6 weeks, and she lost like half of her body weight, and she was not that big to begin with. Like, it nearly killed her. She gets out, and her mom dies. She's like getting ready to go to the funeral, or she gets back. She goes through a breakup with her partner.
Yeah.
And then 2 weeks later, she finds out she has cancer.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was like a month of this. And, you know, she's going through all this stuff and she's able to do a show and a play. And, you know, she calls and says, like, I'm not going to do it. You know, like, I'm going to, like, and he's like, well, I'll postpone it. And if you want to come in and do something, come in a week. And she sits down and she's in the shower and she has this idea. And so she writes the show and she doesn't know whether she should do it or not. And she decides that she's going to go ahead and do it. She goes out there and the entire show is like, she abandons all of her material. And she's like, hey, how's everyone doing? I have cancer. Like, just out there. And it's really amazing.
Louis C.K. was, he was selling it on his site, right? For like $5 or $10 or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's,
I'll have to check it out. I will have to buy it and check it out for sure.
It is unbelievable. I heard it. I heard her on the Nerdist and the Taga Andor. Okay. If you like comedy, you should listen to the Nerdist podcast. It's great.
Yes,
it's absolutely. Like this one only. It's like this one only. They stay on topic.
It's like this one only funny, interesting, and they stay on topic.
Extremely popular and profitable.
So. Right. Exactly. They have sponsors.
Other than that,
they have sponsors who care about them.
Other than that, really, it's in the same vein.
It's basically the same thing. It just, that reminds me of Orange County, where he's talking about his idea for a TV show about, like, Nazi Germany. He's like, but vampires in Nazi Germany. He's like, but it's funny. It's really funny.
God, that movie. Wow.
There are a lot of lines in that movie. I love that movie.
Okay, Zach. Boston 46, Atlanta 45.
Keep the dream alive, Hawks.
happy. Can I do it? Can I please do it?
Jesus.
Can I? Go please? For
it. Yeah.
We'll see you guys next year!
God, I hate you.